When Bobby Messick was 17, he got his girlfriend pregnant. To help with her medical bills, he stole money from his employer, a Dairy Queen in Newport News. When he got caught, a judge sentenced him to probation. But Messick missed several drug tests after his son was born, and the judge ordered him locked up in the city jail. Unable to bring medication for his diabetes, Messick feared that 10-day sentence could cost his life.
They have to get approval from the doctor for them to be able to give you the insulin that you need. And I was sitting there for about 5 hours in booking because they only had one person working, and my blood sugar went up to 550. You know, I tried saying something to them, but, you know, I guess their excuses are the best they can do.
When he was in high school, Messick would check his blood sugar 4 or 5 times a day and give himself as many as 7 shots to keep his blood sugar in a normal range. A reading of 500 might have sent him to the hospital, since very high blood sugar can kill. But now Bobby had to wait for a dose of insulin from the jail's nurse. Over the next few days, he worried constantly, unsure if he would get more insulin in time.
Deputies would walk by and I'd try to get their attention. They would just ignore you. Or like, they'd be like, "What do you need?" And I'd be like, "Well, I need my insulin." They'd be like, "All right, I'll go let the nurse know." And then an hour later, nothing happened. So I ask another deputy, and they're like, "All right, I'll go let the nurse know."
Frustrated and afraid, he phoned his mother, Vicki Pruden.
My husband and I went down to the jail to take his insulin, and the nurse right away informed me that he would only be able to check his blood sugar twice a day. And I went, "That doesn't sound right." And she said, "Well, we do that for every diabetic." I said, "Well, he's type 1. She said, "Well, it doesn't matter. That's our policy."
After Pruden complained to the sheriff's office, Messick says a guard woke him at 3 a.m. and took him again to see the nurse.
My blood sugar was 57, which is pretty low. Normally, if I was at home, I'd drink orange juice and eat some crackers or something. And the nurse gave me a glucagon tab, which isn't enough at all to bring up a 57 blood sugar. And I asked her, "Well, aren't you going to give me more than one?" And she said, "No, one is enough." And I said, "One is not enough, not for a 57 blood sugar. You're not going to give me orange juice or nothing." And she wouldn't answer me, and she was just like, "You can go."
Messick was able to manage his blood sugar to some extent by hoarding bread from his meal trays and eating cookies a fellow inmate had squirreled away. But his family was worried. Not knowing where to turn, they called WVTF and Radio IQ, and we phoned the top man at the Newport News jail, Sheriff Gabriel Morgan. He spoke with us for 6 minutes and 17 seconds.
"That particular inmate is getting everything that they should get. Without a release, there's not a whole lot I can discuss."
Morgan told us a Maryland company called ConMed was paid to provide care to the jail. A licensed practical nurse with as little as 1 year of training was responsible for more than 300 inmates, and a doctor was on call. I asked Sheriff Morgan why the city had stopped employing its own medical personnel.
"I'm not at liberty to discuss that at this time. You call me relative to someone who claimed that they were not getting a proper treatment. I've assured you that they are getting a proper treatment. I've engaged you in quite a bit of conversation relative to this matter. And now we're going down a different road, and I'm trying to ascertain where you're heading with this."
"My only concern is the question of accountability." In other words...
"And I've already assured you, I have personally checked on them last night when you called and this morning when I got in."
Now, you might assume the Newport News jail is just one small operation, not typical of correctional facilities around the state. But in neighboring Virginia Beach, the local sheriff retired, joined the staff of ConMed, and helped the company win a $9 million contract for that city's jail. Less than a year later, two families of former inmates were suing ConMed for wrongful deaths. One of the victims was a 54-year-old diabetic with high blood pressure, sentenced to 10 days for driving on a suspended license. The suit alleged he was given insulin but no blood pressure medication for 4 days. At the state level, about half of all prisoners get care from for-profit companies, and the state's director of health services gets about 2,000 grievances a year from inmates. We asked Virginia's Department of Corrections to talk about that, but officials refused. On the other hand, Abigail Turner was happy to talk. She's an attorney with the Legal Aid Justice Center, suing the Fluvanna Correctional Center and its medical providers. The suit claims inadequate care has caused prisoners' health to deteriorate. As a result, some women, like 47-year-old Darlene White, have died.
"She was a severe diabetic, and on December the 20th, 2011, her blood sugar levels were very, very high. A number of the women prisoners could see her and kept asking for help. And they reported that later a nurse tried to insert an IV tube, and at that point, Ms. White was unresponsive.
Another patient, Gina Wright, complained to the prison nurse about intense abdominal pain and rectal bleeding for a full year before having a thorough exam.
She was finally referred to the University of Virginia. There she was diagnosed with stage 4 abdominal cancer. And she died in April of 2012.
Turner believes at least 10 deaths could have been prevented at Fluvanna over the last 3 or 4 years if medical care had been adequate. 10 years ago, Virginia's chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union issued a report on prison health care called Accountable to No One. It complained of deliberate neglect, unnecessary deaths, botched surgeries, and policies that put cost above the health and welfare of patients. That report went to every state legislator. Since then, says ACLU attorney Hope Emescada, nothing has changed.
It seems to have gotten worse. We don't know a lot, and what we do know is not good.
In future reports, we'll ask why. But before we sign off, an update to the story of Bobby Messick. After getting more than a dozen calls from relatives and reporters, the Newport News jail released him early. He's back on a careful medical regimen, working as a DJ, and spending time with his son. I'm Sandy Houseman.